you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that we can worship you and glorify you. Lord, we need you to continue blessing us and speaking to our hearts. We need you in the word right now. Just ask you, Lord, to bless us to hear things that will transform our lives, that will transform our faith, that will give us a revelation of who you are, and help us to grow in the things that you have given us freely. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I don't know if you guys noticed that I sent out a Facebook post about what today's message is, but the message is Christianity is not enough. It's just not enough. And I know coming from a Christian, that might sound weird to you. And at least one person that I ran the topic by said that sounds on the edge of blasphemy. I'd like to hear more. And I said, good. But I think that you'll understand what I'm saying when I say this, because Christianity is all over the world. It's in the jungles, it's in the mountaintops, it's on the hills, it's in the valleys, it's in small houses, big houses. People are congregating in buildings and homes and mountainsides and in caves. I don't know if y'all ever seen some of those caves that go way down, and people having church literally underground under the rocks. At the same time, we have all this tragedy that's going on around us. Tragedy going on in our hearts. Tragedy that's making people rethink everything about God. And even while near-death experiences can cause a person to stop and rethink about God and who God is and what the whole thing is still what we find in is that Christianity is just not enough. It's just not enough. You got people suffering with long-term sicknesses and things like this, and it's just wearing them down. It wears down their families, and you know, people in the church try to come around them, and it just wears people out, and they end up on their deathbed and they die, and people stand around them and cry and hope and pray. And you have to wonder what it was for. And so people are going through all kinds of things, all kinds of trauma. You know, I know one girl's testimony. I don't know if y'all remember this. It stuck with me a long time, though. This girl, I played the video. It was when we were still at the center. She was in a car accident, and you know, she was a rebel. She wasn't listening to anything anybody had to say. She was freshman in college, early in her college life. And somehow she ended up spinning out on the road. She was speeding. Her car flipped and rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled. And then the car stopped, and she was hanging by her seatbelt while she was bleeding, and she was for sure that it was there that she would meet death. And long story short, she comes out of the situation and she finds her church, and she gets into the church, and she does what most people who have traumatic experiences, a lot of people have traumatic experiences or near death or severe loss or something that wakes them up and makes them decide that they want to try to get right with God. And Christianity is one of those things they choose. So they do like everybody else do. They go to church, they start praying, they straighten up their life, you know, they give up their bad habits and stuff, and people can even see that it's a difference in their life, and that's a good thing. And it's because that there's a perception about Christianity, that Christianity is supposed to deliver something. And so people come running to Christianity. And they figured that it's, you know, it's going to get me healed. It's going to make me feel better. It's going to bring me happiness and joy, or I'm going to become a star, or, I was never anybody when I wasn't trying to be a Christian. So now I can maybe become a star, you know, through the church, you know, like these great preachers and stuff that's going all over the world. And maybe if I get into the church and find a way and market myself, and you know, maybe hook up with one of these great public speakers, that I can be like them. Maybe I can then, I know I couldn't make it in Hollywood, but maybe I can make it in the church. And so these are the same people that they get into Christianity for the healing and the help and the relationships and maybe some happiness and joy. And and they figure, man, what is Christianity without these things? Why would I be in Christianity if I can't be happy? Why would I be in Christianity if I can't be healed? Why would I be in Christianity if I can't be helped? Why would I be in Christianity if I'm not going to become something that I never was before? If I can't be in a magazine or on a billboard or, you know, become some very important person, then what does Christianity have to offer me? And so it's people like that, we see that Christianity is one of these things that offers these things but doesn't seem to deliver anything but some temporary comfort. Just a temporary stay of your pain, a temporary, you know, healing of your mind, and it works for a while, but then, you know, you keep going to church and you keep going to church and things keep staying the same, and you feel good sometimes even when you come to church, seeing everybody, and maybe they had some fried chicken after service, and, you know, old Sister Betty made that old macaroni salad, and, you know, and it was good, it was fun, I felt good, and somebody gave me $10. They say the Lord said I needed it. And then the reality is that we end up having to go home. And it's there that we realize that Christianity ain't enough. Because we get home and the message we heard and the people we saw and the feelings we had are gone. And I'm here alone with my lonely self, my angry self, my bitter self, my betrayed self, my low self-esteem self. I'm not finding anything in this Christianity. It's here at home all alone that I'm finding nothing in Christianity. Nothing. But a hole that's filled with despair while I'm gasping for hope, for something to help me out. And then if you go further, you end up finding out, you know, that all these people that was nice and smiling, that you find out some of them just as messed up as you are. Find out some of them angry like you, mean like you, forget like you forget. Don't do what they say they're going to do like you said you was going to do. You find out a lot of these same people in Christianity, they kind of just like you. And I didn't even get to become a star. Nobody even really notices me. I'm just going to go home. And on top of all of that, I've been playing the same number for the last 18 years. I gave that up for Christianity, and my cousin hit and won $18,000. Played my number. Now I'm really mad. I should have stayed where I was, as far away from Christianity as I could. And so you have to wonder if there's something better. And I'm here to tell you it is something better than Christianity. It really is. It's something better, something way better than Christianity. As a matter of fact, I hope today when you leave here, you totally walk away from Christianity. Walk away from it. Never turn back. Never come back to it another day in your life. I see some of y'all wondering which pill I took this morning. I know you wondering which. I took the right one. It was the pink one. But what could be better than Christianity? Well, let's look at the word Christianity. First of all, y'all, if y'all know me, I love to make sure that information don't change over time. So I always go back to my trusty Webster's 1828 dictionary. Now, they got a 1769, but those are really hard to find and really expensive. But you can get the 1828 real easy. You can actually use it online, but I still be like, no, I'm going to keep my hard copy because I don't know y'all. So I go to my 1828 dictionary and I look up the word Christianity. And guess what? It's not in there. So where the word come from? Well, okay, so we'll deal with the root word. The root word, of course, is Christian, right?
Christ.
But check this out. In the 1828 dictionary, the word Christian is defined as a believer in the religion of Christ. Now, let's just break this down because I'm a literary. I love literacy and words and, you know, so what's the prepositional phrase in this sentence? A believer in the religion of Christ. What's the prepositional phrase?
Of Christ.
Of Christ. So if I take the prepositional phrase out and just get to the nuts and bolts, break it down, I could say, well, it's a believer. But when we go one step further, a believer in the religion. It's very telling. A believer in the religion. And what we need to understand is the religion of Christ is basically a system. All religions are systems of method and practice and vows and all of this kind of stuff, right? It's a system of stuff. So that means that Christianity basically is a religious system. Even though it derives from a person, it's still a system. So we would look at religion like this. We would look at Christianity like this. There's a man, we take the girl. The girl, she wrecked her car. Ambulance comes. Ma'am, you're going to be okay. They cut the seatbelt off of her. And they put her in the ambulance. And they take her to the hospital. She then comes back. And she worships the ambulance. She walks right past the driver that cut her out of the seatbelt. And his assistant that put her on the, what do you call the thing? The gurney. And put it up in there. And gave her some blood and some oxygen. And dressed the wound and wiped her off. And put a blanket over and kept her warm. And kept her alive and got her to the hospital safely. Where she could live again and tell her story. She lived again, but she forgot about those guys. The only thing she was thinking about was the ambulance. She went and bought an ambulance. She started an ambulance company. Because the only thing she was thinking about was the system that came and saved her. The difference between Christianity in Christ. I'm not gonna beat that up. I know y'all got it. Is one focuses on a system, like the woman focused on the ambulance, and one focuses on a person. She focused on the ambulance, and she should have been focusing on the person that drove it and the person that helped her. Some people focus on religion. They focus on Christianity. They talk about Christians, what Christians are supposed to do, how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to dress, how we're supposed to walk, how we're supposed to talk, all of these other things, but we don't talk about Jesus. A person. A living person. He is not dead.
Amen.
He is not a myth. He is not waiting for payment to be in a relationship with us. He is not bypassing you or me because we don't fit the bill. He is a living, breathing, I'm still working on that one. Does he need oxygen? I don't know. But one thing I know is he's got life in his hands to give to whoever will receive it. All right, what is life? What is this eternal life? Because, you know, that's the other thing, which just, you know, give me the ambulance, Aaron. Because just give me the ambulance. Give me the system. Because you're talking about something that seems so ambiguous. Well, what is life? Life is everything that's not dead, right? Okay, is... Now, this is what I heard. Me and one of my buddies were talking about this. He said, Aaron, this is what I believe truth and life consist of. They consist of things that never go away and always live. Okay? So now, my body, I can't say that my body is life because I know I'm going to die, right? I can't say that necessarily even my spirit is this life because it's really not necessarily guaranteed that my spirit will live according to what life is in Christ, right? Gonna live, so I can't say it's my spirit because my spirit is not guaranteed to live according to what life is in Jesus Christ, meaning that there's one death and then there's a second death, and it's eternal, right? We can't say that it's in things because we know that the earth and the fashion thereof is gonna what? Fade away. But what do we know will never fade away? The Word of God. What else? That comes from God to us. What can we have? Because he says, I want to give you life.
Eternal life.
What does that mean, though? What does that mean? Because if it's eternal life, that means that it has no beginning and no end. That means if he's giving it to me and he's giving it to me now, I don't have to wait on whatever that is. Now, I may have to wait on the fulfilling of prophecy and all of his word to come to pass, but this life he's talking about, I can have that right now. What is that?
Belief.
Belief, okay.
Connection with Christ.
Huh?
Christ is life, and so what he's saying is, whenever I look at that phrase eternal life, it's the way I look at it is eternal relationship with Christ, who is life.
Okay. Eternal relationship.
Oh no, now I was gonna say when he says abide in me and I'll abide in you, living water, so it's current. So eternal life is eternally in Christ.
Okay. My son is 9. I'm trying to explain this to him. What am I gonna tell him? Don't worry about eternal life, son. You'll get that when you get older. How are we going to explain it? How do we make it practical? And I mean, even verify by scripture. This is what eternal life is.
So eternal life is believing in the truth, God, Jesus Christ, whom he has sent.
Correct. Okay, so now, how does that play out for me in this life?
What does she say?
She said, this is life eternal, that they believe in the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That's John chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. The Holy Spirit.
In us,
yes. Amen. So the Holy Spirit living in us and through us eternally. I see y'all wheels turning.
But it's the faith that makes that connection with us and Christ and the Holy Spirit.
Correct. Okay, what I'm trying to do is this is why people walk away from Christ. All right, so let's do it like this. And y'all have heard me say this before, I hope. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, patience, meekness, faith, gentleness, and temperance. Right? Are any of those things ever going to go away? See, what we want in this life, really, is we want storms to come and not be moved. That's really what we want. We will say we want money, but that's because money means you have power. And power gets you to things that can bring you joy. Right? If you got enough money, you can just go buy your way into happiness or joy or peace, or you can pay back the people who bring you trouble. You know, even the book of Proverbs says money answers all things, right? But really, if we didn't have to deal with the money, which I think most of us believe that money is a problem, and it brings problems into the world because everybody fighting over it because everybody wants something so bad. And what is it that they want? They want liberty. Money can get you liberty. Money can get you into places that you can't get unless you have money or a whole lot of money. Money can get you peace because you don't have to worry about bills. You don't have to worry about tax collectors. You don't have to worry about car notes. You don't have to worry about buying food. You don't have to worry about anything if you got enough money, right? Unless it's your health, right?
You got people on the street who don't have that, but they still get fed.
But they still will wish they had money.
It gives you a sense of security. That's transient and like an illusion. However, it's a working tool on this side of glory. And it does give you potential choices on what you can do, what you can wear, where you go to eat, blah, blah, blah. Now, a wise servant of the Lord may use that money to help others, for example, or reaching out, but they would have to be a wise steward of the word.
Correct. So I hope you hear what I'm saying is that if we think about the essence of who we are, we really want what God gives to us freely. And that comes from a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, well, no, not Jesus. They came to Peter after they saw Peter perform a miracle by the Holy Spirit. And they said, how much money can we give you for that? He says, your money perish with you. That's declaring right there that the currency in heaven is not the same thing. It's not the same. You can't buy this. He said, your money perish with you. Blood got this. When the disciples didn't want their master to go, he said, it's better for me. It's better for you if I go, because if I don't go, then you don't get the promise of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us life. Check this out. Dan referenced Romans 5 this morning. Okay, so it goes on to say, it says, and we glory in tribulation. Not only so, we glory in tribulation because tribulation work with patience, and patience experience hope, and hope makes us not ashamed. So let's look at this. Tribulation works patience. That's the thing that'll never go away. And patience, hope. Hope will never go away. And hope makes us not ashamed. Who wants to live their life ashamed? Guilty. Hope makes us not ashamed. Why? Because, so it's going to tell you that the tribulation that we go through in this life actually gives us experience, and the experiences that we go through as we follow Christ, this person, gives us hope. And the hope makes us ashamed.
Not ashamed.
And all of that is the result of the Holy Spirit. It says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. So when we understand that the Holy Spirit is a promise from Jesus Christ that you can't barter for, you can't work hard enough for the Holy Spirit. But what do we do in religious systems? We figure, well, maybe they didn't look at me because of my suit. I didn't have a suit on. We have people standing outside these, I'm not talking about literally, people standing outside church doors. No, they need to come get into fellowship or something like that. But no, I don't have the right clothes. What is that saying? They're thinking about a system. They're not thinking about Jesus. They're thinking like men think. They're thinking about a corporate system and corporate powers, and you look good to get around good people. You got to smell good to get connections. You got to have some money. You got to know something. You got to drive the right car. And that's how the system works. And even in churches, in religion, the system can pervade buildings and make us feel like we did it on our own. But he says that I'm going to give you something that nobody can take away. He said the world going to give you a joy, but that you can lose it. What's better than Christianity? A relationship with Jesus Christ. Following Jesus with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all of your strength to follow Jesus Christ. See, some of the people came to Jesus the same way. He said, Jesus started off just feeding people. He did outreach. And then he started turning up the commitment level. He started teaching them things. Okay, first he was asking questions. So y'all read the scripture. What did y'all tell me how y'all reading that? They would explain it to him, and he would, okay, yeah, that's cool. Or no, that's, you off a little bit right there. You need to straighten out. Look at what David said. Look at what Isaiah said. Did not, you remember what Elijah, what happened over there? Okay, let me teach y'all. And then he started talking about, all right, look, if we're going to do this, you're going to have to let that go. So he started off with thousands of people, as long as he was feeding them and healing them. But when he started bringing them closer under his wings, the numbers started going down. And then he even challenged them. He said, people came running up on him. He said, y'all just here for the loaves. Y'all just like the miracles. Y'all like the show. Y'all like all of the people. Y'all just like this energy that's coming from the power that's coming from on high. But this power that's coming from on high is only for some select people. And those are the people that will follow me by taking up their cross, denying themselves, and let's go. You know the scriptures. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. We know that it's not a building. You can look at Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2, when they came and they were marveling at all of the buildings of the temple. He said, man, ain't none of these stones going to be on top of another one. It's all going away. Y'all into all of the show of things. This is not following me. Eternal life is not in this book. And I'm holding the Bible. The first time I said that to my buddies down in Atlanta, they thought I had took the yellow pill. You done lost it now for sure, Aaron. Because I was reading and I just got it. I'm like, Jesus Christ is off these pages, man. He off the pages. And he said, in John chapter 5, verse 39, he says, search the scriptures. He said, for in them you think you have eternal life. And those scriptures are the ones that testify of me. But you won't come to me that you might have life. But what Jesus was finding out over and over again, y'all, I struggle with this today. I know you do. We all do. It's a part of our human condition. They wanted their families. They wanted their businesses. They wanted their houses. They wanted their stuff to work right. And Jesus was saying, look, if all of that means more to you than I do, then go on. Go have at it. That's deep, man. That's deep. That's everything, man. That's everything. Everything. Nothing left out. Everything. This is what we, this is our dilemma. And listen, the dilemma doesn't stop at you coming in. I'm in that dilemma now. It goes on and on. Everything. See, because my everything 5 years ago is totally different from what everything is now. My everything a year ago is totally different than what my everything is now. And we run into, this is for my mature saints, y'all. We run into the problem of feeling like we gave up enough. Then we start trying to, then we buy into the system because we start running down what we've done. I gave up this, I gave up that, I gave up this, I gave up that, I did this, I'm doing that. And that's playing into the system and not into the hands of a living God. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. I just got a couple of questions. This is what I'm wrestling with. You can take it or not. But this is where I've been for about 2 weeks. So you can pray with me, pray for me in this area. My question has been, am I living like he's in the room? Let's come closer. Am I living like he's in me? Am I living like his hands are touching what my hands touch? His eyes are looking at what my eyes look at. His feet are going where my feet are going. He's thinking about what I'm thinking about. He's entertaining the ideas that I'm entertaining. It's very humbling, y'all, to bring Christ front and center, face to face. You know, the Bible says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. That means, because I said, what does it mean to seek his face? Long story short, it simply means that I must know that he approves of everything I'm doing. You know how little kids are? You in the kitchen cooking, and they come pat you. Mama, 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 mama. Now, they can say what they want to say, can't they? Right? But what are they trying to do? They're trying to get you to turn so they can look in your face. They want to see the look on your face. Is it angry? Do I got favor with you today? Do I got grace with you? Where we at? Did I really mess up real bad this morning? We over that yet? Because I want to go outside. David tells us by the Holy Spirit, seek that from God. How God feel about what I'm doing right now. What I'm thinking about doing later. Listen, that can make you feel like you just go back. Listen, Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, look back to where you just came from and think about that. He said, follow me. The grace we have in Christ is to go with him and see the life that he wants to give us. It's still free. Is it easy? No, not when you got a million things distracting you. You got a million things calling on you and you trying to figure out what life. Life means I can have joy right now. What is joy then? Do a word study on that. Do a word study on patience. I thought patience meant just not moving. It's deep. Do a word study on patience. It's not just standing waiting on the bus and not cussing. That's not what patience is in the Bible. It's deeper than that. So I don't know how you feel about what you're hearing right now, but I know what I'm hearing. I'm hearing, Lord, I get it. Help me. I'm hearing, Lord, I know you'll be gracious to me. I know you'll be merciful to me. You didn't save me to bring me this far to leave me behind. I know I have a life ahead of me. Show me the life that's better than Christianity. Help me understand that. I got stuff going on in my head and I don't want to be in this place forever. If you feel like that, I'm telling you, you won't stay there if you follow Jesus. Jesus Christ is better than Christianity. We are not going to take a man, a king, a lord, a friend, a savior, and make an entity out of him. He is a person. You don't want somebody looking at you as a thing. You want somebody looking at you as a person. And that's what Jesus is. He is a person. Amen. And he's much better than Christianity. Let us pray. God, we thank you today for your blessing in our lives, Lord. And this is heavy stuff. And it's daunting. And so, Lord, we pray right now that you would just ease the tension and help us recognize the gospel truths about being in a relationship with you. That it's about following you and loving you because you love us. We need your help with that. We know that there's no way we will be able to do that except you give us your spirit. So we ask you to fill us again to the top, to overflowing. We receive it, Lord. We want to be in that place that you want us in. We want that life. Lord, I know I can say that I have allowed myself to let too many different things get my attention. And I have shorted you on time. I have shorted you on attention. And a lot of times I've done it knowing how much I need you. I ask you, Lord, to deliver me from that. And I ask you to deliver all of us from that. Help us to know that the business will get taken care of. You're more than enough to handle the issues in our lives if we would just let you handle us. And we thank you. We thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to just think about that just a little bit. I don't know.